You would take those who are separated from you and make them friends and children. You would make those who are in darkness and bring them to light. You would continue, Lord, pour out your grace. You continue, Lord, give us faith. You bless us, Lord. You bless us who are not worthy, but yet you bless us. We're so grateful, Lord, for how you move and how you work. And we are asking, Lord, that you would continue to just minister to us, that we would be able to understand your word. We'd be able to understand this concept of just what Paul is talking about. You would give us ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us, your church. And that, Father, these understandings wouldn't be just simply in our mind, but they would, Father, just move into our hearts and move to our walks, that we would understand, Lord, how it is that you move and wait on you and trust in you to do these same things here in this place. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, just speak to us now. Minister to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, if you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Tonight we're in chapter 3 still, and we've moved on to verse 5. So as we've been going through this book, keep in mind that Paul initially has been sharing his authority there in the first chapter, saying, you know, that I am have authority. I do have authority as an apostle. I have authority to give this gospel. And so he spends that first chapter, in a sense, dealing with the personal, really defending the authority of his in the gospel. And then in that second chapter, he now begins to defend justification. In other words, the reality of what the gospel that he is preaches. Now, when Peter came in, and you know, those men who were from James were there and met with the church here at Antioch where Peter was, when Peter separated himself from the Gentiles, that what happens is that Paul needed to correct Peter. He needed to correct this issue that he had. And so he goes through and begins to really say, listen, you have to understand that what you're doing, Peter, is just through your actions, you're bringing a distortion to the gospel. And now what he's doing is this. He's beginning to give a greater explanation to what that justification is, what this gospel means, what the grace is. And so when we were there, as we started chapter 3, there in verse 2, he talks about how a Christian begins. First of all, verse 1, he says, it's all about the cross. Remember Jesus, remember his death. Just keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on that finished work of Jesus Christ. And then as he goes into verse 2, he talks about how we begin. He says, this is only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works or the law or by the hearing of faith? This is how we begin our walks as Christian. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And then in the third verse, he now says, okay, now this is how we begin in the second verse, and this is how we now continue. In verse 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So now he says, we know how you begin. We know how you continue the journey. And so that whole issue of just you begin in the Spirit, you continue in the Spirit. And then in verse 4, he moves to the trials. He says, now within your Christian walk, keep in mind you're going to have trials, but keep in mind those trials are not in vain. Those trials have a purpose. Those trials have a meaning. And so he moves to the trials, and then in verse 5, he moves to the blessings. So first it's the issue with the trials, and he goes, and those are a blessing. But then he moves to the blessings, and those are even a greater blessing. So here in verse 5, he says, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by faith? And so it's important to begin to understand exactly what it is that he's speaking of, saying that here, the giving of the Spirit, the working of the miracles. And so keep in mind, he's speaking to the churches there in Galatia. And he's talking to them about, you know, receiving the Spirit. He's talking to them about the works, the manifestations of the Spirit. And so keep in mind, there's three verses that you should be aware of. Keep it in contextually. verse 2 of this third chapter is, did you receive the Spirit by works? Or did you receive the Spirit through the hearing of faith? And so understand, it's the receiving of the Spirit, and that's what he's talking about now. He who supplies the Spirit, he who gives the Spirit there in verse 5, he who supplies the Spirit to you and the works of miracles among you. So we saw already in verse 2 how we receive the Spirit. Verse 3, we said, have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The continuing work of the Spirit. But what Paul does is this. In this fifth verse, he talks about the supplying of the Spirit. And so it isn't necessarily the giving, but now it's the supplying. It's that continual moving of the Spirit. And then with that supplying of the Spirit, he says this, and the works, and who works miracles among you. And so we begin to see that here, he's now beginning to point out this issue of the miracles. And of course, when he talks about the miracles that are among you, he says, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so keep in mind that again, verse 14 of this third chapter is going to say this, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's all about faith. And he mentions these miracles. And I think it's important that when it comes to the biblical principle of the systematic theology, what is this principle of faith? What does it mean? What does it look like? Because he talks about to the churches of Galatia, you've seen miracles. So what miracles have they seen? What is miracles? What does he mean by these miracles? Well, keep in mind that as he's speaking here, he's talking about the evidences, that the miracles are evidence of grace. That's what they are. We don't deserve them. We don't earn them. We haven't worked for them. And yet God is going to say what? Miracle. And he works miracles out in many myriads of ways. Keep in mind that when we look to what are we capable of doing? Well, the bottom line is that without him, we can do nothing. And so there's things where we were praying tonight, and we were lifting up those people who we understand have cancer, those in our fellowship, those that other people know, and they wanted to just be praying for these people in cancer. When we look to that term cancer, it's like, it's a panic word. It's just a panic word. Well, what do we do with this thing called cancer? Yet with God, it's what? It's like, okay, it's just a word. It's just, I can work past this. And so God can heal that. God can do all things. There's no such thing as a degree of difficulty. And so when it comes to God, keep in mind, he says, I do miracles. And so there are evidences of grace. Miracles are not evidence of works. Why? Because as we note this, he asks this question at the end of verse 5, was it by the works of the law, or was it by the hearing of faith? He asks this question, do miracles come by works? Do miracles come through faith? And the bottom line is, if you are familiar with Ephesians 2:8, it says this very simply, that by grace you have been saved through faith. That's it. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. This faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You understand? It is this grace. By grace you've been saved through faith. This faith is not of yourselves. It's a gift. The grace is a gift. The faith is a gift. All this, when it comes to the receiving of miracles, understand that he talks about in verse 5 that it is by the hearing of faith. We understand what? It's a gift. Miracles are a gift. And keep in mind that as we go through the certain issues of just where miracles are in Scripture, I want to take you to just a couple in the Old Testament so you can kind of see exactly what we're beginning to see as we go through this. One of the verses that I want you to see is this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, just make a note there. Verse 29 makes this declaration. For by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Do you understand? By faith, they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. He begins to make this declaration of just going through and passing through the Red Sea. And of course, you are familiar with that passage in Exodus chapter 14. That's where that event takes place. And what happens is that the children of Israel find themselves between a body of water and an army. And that's where they are. We would call it what? A rock and a hard place. And so on one, there is no way to go. God has led them through this cloud to the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army begins to follow. Now, as the Egyptian army comes upon them, God with the cloud will put himself between the nation of Israel and the Egyptian army. So they can't pass through. They can't get to Israel. But yet the children of Israel, they begin to cry out. And eventually what Moses begins to say, listen, the Lord is going to fight for you. God is going to fight for you. And so as they do this, one of the ways that he gets them to fight is this. I'm going to show you a path. Do you understand as we were worshiping this evening, what? He's the way maker. There's a path that we need to follow, a path that he's going to direct us on. And to be honest, to when he is this lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path, that's an amazing miracle of God. That he would guide us and lead us, that we aren't in the dark in any situation, that he will guide us through his spirit. But you have to understand that when it comes to them crossing through that Red Sea, what Hebrews 11:29 says is by faith they pass through. Do you understand? That the faith being a gift, it was a gift that God gave them, a way to go through, a way to separate themselves from this army they feared. And then when the army goes through, it was? It was a way to destroy the army. So it was multiple things, but by faith, they passed through, believing. As they saw this wall of water on the right, the wall of water on the left, and there's some like, okay, well, how's the water being held up? Are we going to be okay? And the answer is, yeah, it's dry land. Go through. But it was by faith they begin to journey. Do you understand this miracle crossing was a gift? It was by faith. We also see this when the children of Israel had come into the promised land. In verse 30, it makes this declaration. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And do you understand? He doesn't say it was the encircling that caused them to fall down. It wasn't the trumpet blast that caused them to fall down. It was the faith. Now, keep in mind that as you're walking around this incredibly high wall, that literally you can run chariots side by side on it, and you have literally homes that are built inside the wall, so it's multiple layers. Amazingly, what happens is they weren't allowed to talk. All they were allowed to do is what? Look and walk. And just to recognize this is what God is doing. And as you walk around this, eventually, I don't know if the walls begin to look bigger and thicker or if the walls begin to look thinner and smaller. Because if you're saying, God, this is your work, this is your work, this is your work. And amazingly, he says that what? The victory of Jericho, the miracle of the walls falling down was a gift. It was here, we see this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. And amazingly, what happens is this, that we are going to see over and over that when it comes to these miracles, it's a gift. And when we look to these miracles, thinking, it's not us who've earned these miracles. It's not us who've worked. So now God says, oh yeah, I better do this for you because now you've earned this. That isn't how the miracles are. The miracles are what? They're faith. And if faith, according to Ephesians 2:8, is a gift, then we recognize what all these miracles, all these things are gifts. God grants us the faith. He gives us that. And then he does the miracle. So keep in mind that he gives us the ability, he gives us the faith, and then he does it so that what? We just stand back and glorify him. Because when we come to God in these areas, what? It's things that what are so far beyond us, we can't do that. And amazingly, if we really come to believe Scripture, where without him we could do nothing, we recognize everything you do, Lord, is a miracle in my life. When you open my eyes to your word and you open my heart to your word, this is a miracle. Because what? The carnal mind can't understand the things of the Spirit. You've blessed me with the ability to grab a hold of this. And so I want you to understand that when it comes to miracles, we do have those amazing miracles in the Old Testament where the crossing of the Red Sea, the Jericho falling down. But then there are other miracles that Jesus begins to, one, teach us, again, this same pattern. I want to take you to a couple of miracles that Jesus did, and I want you to, again, follow this pattern. And the pattern that we saw was the same pattern there in Hebrews 11, because it was by faith, by faith, by faith. The first one I want to take you to is found in Matthew chapter 8. You guys understand and remember this event that took place, because what happens is this: there is a centurion. It begins this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read down to verse 13. And of course, the key is going to be verse 10, but follow with me as I read this. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." So the centurion comes to Jesus, and he says, "Hey, I got a servant who's not well, and I need you to heal." So Jesus said, "All right, let me come to your house." Well, all of a sudden, note this, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Do you understand? He says, "I don't need you in person. I just need your will." Isn't that amazing? I just need your word. And boy, as a Christian, shouldn't that be our heart? We're always saying, "God, show up, show up, show up." He says, "I've already given you my word. Is that not enough? Do you need to have me literally show up with angels or something? I've given you my word." Now, here's a centurion. He says, "All I want is your word. And I believe your word. I have faith in that word." And so what happens is this. He says, "Only speak the word and my servant will be healed." He says in verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another one, comes, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." He says, "I understand the power of words. When I tell a servant who's with me to go, he goes. When I tell a servant who's not even in my presence to come, he comes." Do you understand the authority of words? When I tell a soldier to come, I don't care where he's at, he's going to come. Why? Not because I show up and tell him, because my word shows up and my word has authority. He understands the authority of words and the miracle of that authority. And so what Jesus does is this. In verse 10, Jesus, when he heard it, he marveled and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you," notice what he says, "I have not found such great faith." Do you understand? What is faith? It's a gift from God. We know that because of Ephesians 2:8. It's a gift. He said, "I haven't found this faith." Someone who simply accepted this gift, believed the gift, acted on the gift. And he says, "I've not seen this even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then he said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Do you understand the context? Faith, faith, faith. That's what it's all about. And I think it's so important to begin to make that note and make that understanding there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. You guys do understand this event that also take place. There's a man, Jairus, who had a daughter, and she literally was to the point where for 12 years she was a blessing. It looked like she was not going to live. But in the midst of that, what happens was this. There in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, it says this: "There was a certain woman, and she had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here she's doing everything she can to try to say, I need to get better, I need to get better, and she doesn't. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now keep in mind, she didn't need a word. She didn't need to for him to physically touch. But she says, if I can touch his garment, if I can touch the garment. Now keep in mind, when she touches the hem of the garment, the hem of the garment would be what? It would be a symbol of authority. Because there they would have these little tassels on the bottom of the garment, and they were symbols of authority. Remember when David went and he cut the edge of Saul's garment? It was by saying what? I've taken away the authority, which is why he's like, nah, I can't do this. I had to repent. Sorry, Saul. Shouldn't have done it. But she says, if I could only just touch that authority that is Jesus. And so when it happens this, verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you? And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And then in verse 34, what does he say? I love this. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. It was a gift. And she simply believed that, Lord, you have the authority. If I can access your authority in any way, I trust that your authority is going to go. And he says, not only has your faith made you, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And she's able to recognize this miracle of the Lord, but keep in mind that once again, the miracle of the Lord, what? It's faith, but that faith is a gift. Miracles are just this. They are a gift from God. And we get them not because we've earned them, not because we deserve them, simply because what? God is gracious to us. Nothing we've done to earn, nothing. What did she do? What did she do to earn it? It didn't say like she was doing anything because she wasn't trusting God before that, spending everything she could to be healed. Nothing worked until what? I've given up now on everything. Nothing works. I'm going to go to Jesus. That's enough faith. Faith of a mustard seed. And so we begin to look to just the reality of just how God moves. In Mark chapter 10, remember the situation with Bartimaeus. And I love just how the Lord begins to open that up. In Mark 10, beginning in verse 46, it says this. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, had a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. It's amazing that here is a blind man and he sees things that nobody else does. He gives to the Lord a messianic title. This is the Messiah. And he's just crying out, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. So Jesus stood still, verse 49. He commanded him to be called, and they brought the blind man, saying, be good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Now, this is amazing because keep in mind that as a beggar, you would wear a beggar's cloak, a beggar's garment. And you know what he does? When Jesus says, hey, the master's calling you. I don't need this beggar's cloak anymore. Gone. Just throws it away. You understand already, he's like, I don't need it. I am not even in front of Jesus. All I know is he's called me. He's called me to him. And if he's called me to him, I don't need this anymore. And he doesn't even have his eyes open. That's faith. I don't need this beggar garment. So throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And then in verse 52, what did he say? Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Are you seeing any connections? Are you understanding that what miracles are, they're an incredible just gift of God? Not that we've earned them, not that we deserve them. They're just simply this gift of God. And so not only is these things that they come through Jesus Christ, but we begin to see what? The miracles continued there in the early church. Because Paul is now talking about these miracles here in Galatia that they were aware of. And keep in mind that when the church began, what? Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, we recognize that there was this lame man in verse 2 from his mother's womb, and he was carried, and they laid them daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms. He's there to beg. I can't walk, I can't do anything, just kind of carry me there, lay me down, let me ask for alms. But amazingly, what happens is this, and I love this passage, because when he's here, when he's looking at this, we begin to see this. Verse 4, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and praising God. And so keep in mind that we recognize what's going on. And then we see here that the people are saying, okay, what did you do? What did you do? And they said, listen, it's not by our own godliness, not by our own power, but look at what it says in Acts 3:16. As Peter begins to talk, he says, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And we're just witnesses. Do you understand? We're just witnesses that it's his name. It's Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the authority of Jesus. Faith in the ability of Jesus. This is it. And so I love that heart that we begin to see that this is what God has done. This is what God is doing, that he's worked these things out. But everything is what? It's faith, it's faith, it's faith. But the faith is what? It's a gift. Miracles are a gift. And as Paul is saying that here in Galatia, just keep in mind that he says what? He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. You understand? He's telling the churches of Galatia, God has wrought miracles. A couple of miracles that you should be aware of that actually takes place in Galatia that we're aware of through the book of Acts. That they're in Acts chapter 14. Beginning in verse 8, it says this, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, and notice what he says in verse 9, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul's not talking about his faith. This crippled man, he's looking, and you can see that there's something in his countenance. That there is this understanding of, I am going to receive a blessing from God. And he looks at him, and seeing that he had the faith to be healed, he does this. He said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt up and he walked. Absolutely amazingly that we see here, this miracle was brought, what? It was by faith. And it wasn't Paul's faith, and it was this man's faith. Now, how did he get the faith? It was a gift of God. And we begin to understand this is the beauty of just what it is that we see here is how God moves and makes miracles. We see that he heals in multiple ways, but there's other miracles that God does. We understand walls of Jericho would fall down. We understand, you know, Red Seas would part. But there's another miracle that I want you to be aware of. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, we see this. That Paul is there in Philippi. And as he's there, what happens is this. Acts 16, verse 16, it makes this declaration. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, men, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this he did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I want you to see here this beautiful thing where there's authority in the word of God. And so what happens is this, that Paul can see this woman, and her masters don't care that she's suffering. Others don't care that she's suffering. And what happens is this, that Paul at this point is more annoyed because she keeps speaking the truth. Now, as she speaks the truth, she says, you know, this is the service of the Most High God. So it's like, go ahead, preach it. But he doesn't want that because for whatever reason, he wants to minister to her. And so he comes and he says, I command you. Do you understand? An absolute understanding that he has power, not him, but of the Holy Spirit. I command you to come out. And he came out that very hour. We begin to see this beautiful thing of just how these miracles were being brought about in the area of the churches of Galatia. And so we see here these people being freed. We see people, you know, taking in and walking. And there's one other thing that I do want you to be aware of, and it's a little bit vague, and I want to bring some clarity to that vagueness. But in Acts chapter 14, if you back up there to verse 1, it makes a statement. Now, it happened in Iconium. They're there in Iconium, the area of Galatia, that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And they spoke that a great multitude, and so spoke that a great multitude of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. And then it says this in verse 3. And they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to the word of his grace. Then it says this, granting signs and wonders. Do you understand? They don't go into details. They don't go into details, but God granted what is here saying signs and wonders. And understand what signs and wonders are. Understand that it's just another way of saying miracles. It's another way of saying that the moving of God. And what are these signs and wonders? There's a passage, and I want you to turn there in your Bible, if you would, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's something that you should be aware of when it comes to signs and wonders, when it comes to how the Holy Spirit moves. And what's going to happen is if you can get this little portion of Scripture underneath your belt, that you will have a great, great clarity on how the Spirit moves, when the Spirit moves, and what the Spirit is doing. Just by looking at Scripture. When we take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it opens up very simply. It says, now concerning spiritual, the gifts in your Bible should be in italics. So they call it spiritual gifts, but what happens is this. By calling it spiritual gifts, as a translator did, it's going to throw you off. It's just considering the things of the Spirit. And that's what it should have said. Considering the things of the Spirit, how the Spirit moves. He says this, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I don't know about you, but in the Christian church, there is a lot of ignorance about how the Holy Spirit works. We attribute the Holy Spirit to this, we attribute the Holy Spirit to this, and we try to just put all these things and say, oh, the Spirit of God told me this. And it's like, how could the Spirit of God tell you that when it doesn't even line up with Scripture? And so we look to these things on what it is. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of how the Spirit works. And then he says this, verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The gift of salvation. Name of all names. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't do that without the Spirit. So understand that now he begins to make this statement. In verse 4, he says there are diversities of gifts. One more time, there are diversities of gifts. There are spiritual gifts. Now keep in mind, now the word gifts is used. Earlier in verse 1, the word gifts wasn't used. So what happens is this. In verse 4, he says they're spiritual gifts. Now, next to verse 4 in your notes and writing spiritual gifts in your notes, jot down this passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 9. This is a listing of spiritual gifts. So in verse 4 here of 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about spiritual gifts. Those gifts are mentioned in Romans 12, verses 5 through 9. Leave a little gap in your notes. The next thing you see here is verse 5. In verse 5, it says, not only are there diversity of gifts, it says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So understand, now you've got the second thing to note. The first is there are gifts. Those gifts are mentioned in Romans 12, verses 5 through 9. Now there are ministries. The different ministries are mentioned in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. So make a note of that. You've got two distinct movings of the Holy Spirit. And so when you're dealing with signs, when you're dealing with wonders, when you're dealing with how the Spirit moves, keep in mind that there are giftings, there are ministries, and then it says this, verse 7, but the manifestations of the Spirit, do you understand, is given to each one. So there are three distinct things. There are gifts found in Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 9. There are ministries found in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And then there are manifestations. These manifestations are found right here in verses 7 through 10. Now keep in mind that as you have three distinct and separate movings of the Spirit, and so there are different ways the Spirit works. He works in gifts, he works in ministries, and he works in manifestations. They are unique, they are distinct, they are separate. Now, these are given and empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of them. The gifts, the ministries, the manifestations are all a moving of the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, keep in mind that they're all, a sense, miraculous. They're all signs and wonders. And so through this, what we begin to see is this. When it comes to gifts, if you left a little room on your notes, keep in mind that what Romans 12, verses 5 through 9, dealing with gifts is this. Gifts are for measuring the faith of the body of Christ. Gifts help measure the faith, how much the body has been given this gift of faith. How much we walk in this gift of faith. Or do we believe in the authority of God's word? Are we believing of his authority? Just send your authority. We want your authority any way we can get it, like the woman. Do you understand that there's a measuring of faith, and that's done through the gifts? And then when you hit the ministries aren't to measure the faith. The ministries are for the unity of the body of Christ. That God is going to bring certain ministries into the body. It's a working of the Spirit, but that working of the body by giving different ministries to different people is going to bring a unity to the wholeness of the body. There isn't a separation, there's a unity. And lastly, we see these manifestations. The manifestations, as we're going to look at here in 1 Corinthians 11, they're for building up the common good of the body of Christ. So you have basically the gifts measuring the faith. You have the ministries are now recognizing they build up the unity in the body. And then you have these manifestations which build up the good for the body. Now I want to take you to these three points so that you can be aware of just what it is we're talking about and how you can understand that every one of these is still a moving of the Spirit. When we take a look at that first one there in Romans chapter 12, as you turn there, just keep in mind that what I want to do is this. I want to share with you just how this is these gifts and why we understand that they are gifts. Again, in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, it says this, "For we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another." So we're a body. But now it says this. So keep in mind in verse 6, having then gifts. Do you understand? There's a listing. These listings are a listing of gifts. Now, when it comes to gift, it's measuring the faith. Now, we've already talked about this. There are these things where you have these gifts, you have these ministries, you have these manifestations. A lot of times what's going to happen is this. The Holy Spirit is going to overlap or overlay ministries with gifts. So you'll have someone that he raises up, but now he's, all of a sudden he's going to give you a gift, but then he'll also put in a manifestation. Now, when he does it and it looks like an overlapping, keep in mind that it may look like it's overlapping and it's the same thing, but they're still distinct and separate. I can't stress that enough. And I know that some of you are kind of following, some of you aren't following. If you want an in-depth working of how the Holy Spirit works, if you go into our website, you go into the special studies, we do have a 7-message series on the Holy Spirit. We'll help kind of bring this to a clarity for you. But understand that as he's dealing with it, right now he's focusing on the gifts. And within the gifts, it says here in Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, these gifts differ. Why? Because God in his grace says, I want to do this, I want to do this. And it's going to be simply, I want to measure the faith of the body. We're going to touch this person and this person, this ministry. This is what we're going to do. And so he says this, there's gifts. They differ according to the grace that is given. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, keep in mind, we're going to see that a prophetic word is also a manifestation. But when it comes to the measuring the faith, that becomes the gift. When it comes to just really saying, I want to build up the body, and I'm going to have someone speak a prophetic word, that's going to build up the body. And so they're unique, they're separate. But here he says, a gift is prophecy. And if you have prophecy, prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. So we begin to see that all these are just differing gifts. There's a gift of prophecy. And then he says, and there's gifts of ministry. Now, when it comes to the gift of ministry, the ministry gift is for measuring up the faith of the body. When it comes to that working of ministries, it's to unite the body. But each one here, as it's looking at the measuring of the faith, he says, listen, if you're going to have a ministry, use it in our ministering. When you teach, use it in teaching. When you exhort, do it in exhortation. And it's about saying, God is going to give you this word of faith to speak out, walk it, know it, realize what God is doing. And then, of course, with all things, he says, when you exhort with exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And this is an amazing thing. And I think that's one of the hardest things that we do as Christians is when it comes to this, and it says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. A lot of times we do what? We show mercy grudgingly. Do you understand? When you show mercy, this is a true gift to be able to say, you know what? Be at peace and be happy with it. So to literally say, I'm going to tell you and understand this, that when I say, just be at peace, I'm showing mercy. Do that with cheerfulness. Do this with joy in your heart. And then, of course, with all things, love. Love is the greatest of all the gifts. So keep in mind that there are these gifts of God, and each one is going to be used for the measuring of faith of the body of Christ. But then you have this next section. Of course, it was talked about in 1 Corinthians 12:5, ministries. Now, if you go to Ephesians, and you go to chapter 4, and you scroll down to verse 11, what we begin to see is this. That same thing comes true. It says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then it says this, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ministries. And so keep in mind that when it comes to ministries, the ministry is what? Just to build the body together. And when you think about it, this is what these ministries are. He gave, verse 11, himself some to be apostles. Now the apostles were to what? They had the authority. They would draw the people together. They would speak forth the gospel. That was an incredible thing. But also along with the apostles, there was another group of people called the prophets. And they were to say what? Thus saith the Lord. All of us, let's get united together to what God is saying. Let's knit our hearts to where he's at. And then on top of that, you have evangelists. The evangelists do what? They're bringing the lost in. They're saying, I want to just grow the body and build the body. And it's what? It's about uniting every single person who comes in and says what? Now you're part of the body. You don't have to work yourself in. You're just, once you've accepted Christ, you're part. There's a unity. And so we see, and on top of that, then there's pastors and teachers. Some believe that that's two distinct things. I believe that way it's worded, it's one thing, it's a pastor teacher. I consider myself that. That's what I consider my ministry, is to be a shepherd, but my main ministry in the shepherding is what? Give us direction through the word of God. Just bring clarity. And why do we do this? Why does he bring in these apostles? Why does he bring in the prophets? Why does he bring in the evangelists? Why does he bring in these pastors, teachers? And it says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you understand how this brings unity? So there isn't like the pastoral does all the work and the leadership and the deacons do all the work and then the body just sits back and say, I do nothing. Well, we do this. We equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you understand? What we do is we say, here's the heart of God. And you're saying, I want to walk it. This is what I want to do. And so we do what? We get to know these are the needs that are within the church. These are the needs that are within our city. These are the needs that are within our country and the world. And so we begin to pray for those. We begin to move on those. But it's about equipping the saints. So keep in mind that if through, you know, being taught the word and through praying that God gives you a ministry, do me a favor. Don't come and say, Pastor Lowell, you need to do this. I don't have the time for that. But what I will say is this. If God has given you the vision, then ask me, Pastor Lowell, will you pray for me and confirm that God is calling me to do this? And so it's an important thing because it's the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It builds us up. And of course, in verse 13, until we all come to unity. And so it's important to look to that. It's important to see what that is and how that begins to work. And so you have, according to 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of gifts in verse 4. There are different ministries there in verse 5. But then in verse 7, he calls this the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, within the manifestations of the Spirit, keep in mind that there are three distinct categories. One of the manifestations of the Spirit is this incredible ability. It's a miracle of understanding. There's this beautiful thing of understanding. So let me read it through you, and then I want you to kind of follow through what these gifts of understanding is. Verse 7. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So in other words, he gives you the gift not so that you can pat yourself on the back so the whole body can benefit. To one is given what? A word of wisdom through the Spirit. What does a word of wisdom sound like? Understanding. Words of knowledge. So he gives us this understanding, the wisdom through the Spirit. And then he says this. Verse 8, to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So as we see here, amazingly, there's this understanding of where God says, all right, I want to give you certain gifts, and there are three gifts that deal with understandings. There is the word of knowledge. And then we begin to see the wisdom through the Spirit. And then we begin to see the last at the end of verse, or the middle of verse 10, is the discerning of spirits. So there's three things when it comes to understanding. You have the wisdom. You have the word of knowledge. So one, he just gives you wisdom. The other, he gives you word of knowledge. And then he gives you a discerning of spirits, where you can say that when someone says, oh, I think this is of the Lord, you go, oh, that's not of the Lord. I can discern that. I can discern the spirit of someone and say, no, you're not walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh. There's a discerning of spirits. And so there are three amazing manifestations that the Spirit gives to the church. And one of the manifestations is the miracle of simply saying, I'm going to give to you wisdom. I'm going to give to you a word of knowledge. I'm going to give to you a discerning of spirits. After the understandings, then we would call this the ultra power. Just this dynamite kind of thing. So when it comes to this ultra power, keep in mind that in verse 9 it says, to another, faith. Faith is an ultra power. Faith is something that you can have a faith of a mustard seed, and that's one thing. But if you ever, sometimes you have enough faith just to cry out to Jesus and say, okay, I got enough faith to cry out to you. But other times you literally, I know that if I come to church and I ask the leadership, would you just lay hands on me and pray over me? There have been times that I've known before I even came here and asked the leadership to pray that God was going to heal. You know what happened? I went in, asked the leadership, they anointed me, they laid hands, they prayed on me, healed. Just healed. There was a faith that went beyond anything that is of my understanding. And that's an ultra power. Not only when it comes to faith, keep in mind it says this, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And all of a sudden, what? It's going to be like, I just know I'm going to be healed. I know there's a way I'm going to just touch the authority of God. I'm going to just hear the authority of the Word of God, and He's going to move and He's going to heal. And so I recognize that this is one of these ultra gifts. And so we see here this beautiful thing. And then he says in verse 10, and to another, the working of miracles. Miracles. So I love the fact that there are three gifts that are of understandings. The word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the wisdom that comes. There's another that's this ultra power that just God moves and manifests through the faith, through the healings, and through the miracles. And the last three, we'd call them this, utterances. There's understanding, there's ultra power, and there's utterances. And in the utterances, God gives you a word. Understand that God gives a word. It says this at the end of verse 10. After he says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Prophecy. That you have the ability to speak forth the word of God, to speak forth the heart of God. And it's an amazing thing when God gives to us a prophetic word. There's another manifestation that the Spirit gives to actually say, listen, I want to build up the church. And what he does is this, he gives the gift of tongues. He gives us a gift of a language to glorify him and praise him in a way that the English language just can't do. Think about this. You want to tell someone that you love them. And so it's nice to say, I love you, I love you. Well, okay, is love the highest word that I can use? Because what's higher than love? You can say, well, agape you. Well, that's just another form of love. But how do you go beyond that? And sometimes you want to worship God. You want to glorify God. You want to do it in a way that is beyond the natural understanding of man. And what God will do is this. He will give you a language. He will give you a way to praise him, a way to glorify him, that you don't fully cognitively understand what it is that you're saying, but you do know this, by faith, you are worshiping in a way that the English language just can't even begin to touch. And so he gives you a word. He gives you this tongue. Take a look at verse 10. To another, the working of miracles, we covered that. To another, prophecy, this is the beginning of the utterances. To another, the discerning of spirits, we already understand that that's the understandings. Then he says, to another, different kinds of tongues. It's amazing that God will often say, listen, I want to reach this person and I'm going to do it in a way that you can't understand. There was this time I was at a pastor's conference, and this pastor was sharing, and it was just an amazing word because him and about three, four other of the pastors, and these are all men that I've known and I've respected in their ministries, and they said that they had gone to this place in Africa to minister. And while they were at the hotel, that they were, because of jet lag and everything else, they were awake at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so there was really no place in a hotel to meet, but the only place they could meet was there at the bar. And so they went into the bar. There's no one in there because it's in the middle of the night. And so as they're there, they're holding a prayer meeting. And while they're holding this prayer meeting, one of the pastors begins to speak in tongues. And so what they did is they listened to it, and they're like, okay, I don't understand what's going on, and they waited for the interpretation. The interpretation didn't come. And so they said, okay, interpretation hasn't come. Let's just move on. Let's just continue to pray. And they, no one dissed the man. No one did anything. They just said, okay, well, we waited for interpretation. Interpretation come. Let's just move on. And eventually what happened was this. As they were closing up the prayer meeting, the bartender comes to them. And he asked them, and he says, listen, who of you knows and has been and understands the language? Because what you were doing is you were saying the words in my language and even in the dialect of my tribe. And they said, well, what were you saying? You were talking about this God and his glory and his goodness. Tongues. Do you understand? And all of a sudden, none of those pastors had the interpretation. The only one that had the interpretation was the bartender, and he didn't know enough to speak up the interpretation until it was afterwards. But this is how God can work. He's going to give a certain word to a certain people, or the ability for someone who doesn't know your language to understand exactly what it is you're saying. This is what God is able to do. He's able to transcend language. Why? Because God understands language. Why? He's the one who gave it at Babel. Do you understand? I'm putting all these languages out there. I can take it away. I can put a division, or I can bring a unity through this. But we begin to see what? There's an utterance. It's absolute utterance that comes through. There's prophecy, there's tongues, and then he says this, another, the interpretation of tongues. And he's going to go on in chapter 12 to say how these things are used and when they're misused and don't do that. But I do want you to understand that when it comes to signs and wonders, that these are the kind of things that were happening there in the churches of Galatia. That there were these gifts that were going on, and they would just to say, look at where the faith is here, and look at where our faith is here, and it just kept building up the body and saying, listen, we're lacking in this, but that's okay. What? Because God's going to build us up. And so we use these things to measure our faith. Where are we at as a church? Are these things being practiced? Are they practiced according to how God calls them to be practiced? Where are we at in our faith? And there's what? There's ministries. God's going to raise up different people within the churches, different leaders within the churches. Some, there's going to be prophets that come along like Agabus. Others, there's going to be apostles like Paul is going to come along. There's going to be pastor teachers that come along. There's going to be all these. Timothy, pastor teacher. And so we begin to see that all these ministries will come, but it's to build up the body. It's to build them up in a unity, to grow them together. And so you begin to see these manifestations, these workings of what? Of these ministries. This is all spiritual. And guess what? It's all faith. And they're all miracles in a sense. There's signs and there's wonders. The Spirit moves. And of course, then we see here the manifestations. As there were certain times they would preach and people begin to speak in tongues. Other times they would have these incredible, you know, miracles that would be taking place. You'd see these things. And in all of it, I want you to understand, these are signs and wonders. So keep in mind that as we look to this, here is what Paul is trying to say back in our text in Galatians chapter 3. He says this in verse 5, he who supplies the Spirit to you, and work miracles among you. Do you understand that there are things that God through the Spirit is doing in the churches, and understand that when he does them, it's not because we've earned them. It's not because we've worked enough and now God says, okay, now because you've done enough, now I'll do it. Do you remember that when we were looking at the crossing of the Red Sea, the children of Israel were just crying out to God. I said, why are you crying out to me? I'll tell you what, walk across. I'm going to make a way for you. And so it's so amazing that we think that we have to like drum up this faith. Understand, faith is a gift. And he's going to give to each one of us a measure of faith. Some, we need a lot more faith because there's a greater work that he has to do in us. Others, I don't need that much faith because I just know God's going to do this. And I don't have to have the touch of God. I just need his word. Do you understand? Sometimes that's all we need. I need a word of God in my life. And if I get his word, guess what? I'm walking it. I'm absolutely believing that his word has authority and it's already done what he said it's going to do in my life and what he said it's going to do in this church. And this is the beautiful thing about looking at this. So I think it's so important that when we're looking at the working of the Spirit, that at one, first it was, you know, this is how we begin. We begin in the Spirit. This is how now we journey. We journey in the Spirit. But then he talked about, you know, in that one, we suffer, but the sufferings have benefits. And now he talks about the blessings. And the blessings are what? Dynamite benefits. It's just this gift that God gives us, miracle after miracle after miracle. And when we take a look and we see just how God does miracles. I mean, just look at this past year. You know, the past year, we weren't meeting here last year. So, but while we were not meeting here, guess what? God provided another place to meet. And that's a miracle. Do you understand? And we were able to have this unity. We were able to have this faith. And this is how God works. And I think it's just so important to make a note here that what Paul is trying to say is this. First, I went to the negative and said the negative, these trials, these things that you suffered, they weren't in vain. There are blessings that come. And now he goes, he says, and then talk about blessings. There's even greater blessings. And these greater blessings don't come through works. They come through faith. Faith is a gift. And I think it's so important to just stand back, Christian, and to look at God and to say, God, what kind of miracles have you performed in my life? Not only to bring me to salvation, but what have you done? How you allow me to learn your word and to grow in this word and to come to these areas and to receive this faith. So when you're walking and you see something that God's called you to do, you'll say, you know what, Lord? If you've given me a word of knowledge in this person's life, help me pray for them. Help me minister. If you've given me a prophetic word to share with them, a word that is coming forth from you, help me share that. If you've given me the gift of faith so I can pray for them, help me do that. Do you understand? These are all things that he says, I'm going to do that. And if he's given you this ability to open up a word of God and to share it with somebody, be that teacher. Proclaim that word. And even if you don't know everything about it, if you know enough to say, hey, I know this about it, I can share this about it, then be open to the leading of the Lord. And this is why here Paul is saying, man, you have to understand, God has done miracles among you. And keep in mind that God does miracles among every one of us. Not just leadership, but every single one of us, there are miracles. Every single one of us, that there is something that the Spirit wants to do in and through you. And it's important, but just be open to it. Be open to it and say, use me as a vessel. And he's going to say, I couldn't wait to do that. Let me do that. Father, we're so grateful for just this passage. So grateful for an understanding of just as we looked on Sunday as far as just the sufferings and the trials. Now we get to look at the blessings, the miracles. And as the sufferings had benefits, the miracles have even greater, greater blessings. Because we see you moving. We see the power of your Spirit. We see it manifested in so many ways. We see it through the giftings and the ministries and the manifestations, how you desire to move. This is the working of the Spirit. And Spirit, you do not move because we've earned it. You do not move because we've worked. You move because you love us. And you move because of grace. and you give us the faith. So we thank you for just, again, your grace. We thank you for these giftings. We thank you that you freed us from us, that we can just go on and recognize that if you've called us, you're going to use us, because we're just going to simply become instruments in the hand of the Master, you who will wield us. And so do this for your glory. Do this for the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.